Well, Levi got me messed up this morning just talking about the scripture. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? It says you've made him a little lower than angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. When I first got born again, that was one of the main questions in my life. I got to know who Jesus was, and am still learning about who my Messiah is, my Lord is. But the next question is who am I? You know, this is the hole in everybody's heart. Chip and I and Jonathan, we were speaking earlier this week about this. And a lot of times we get into the day-to-day of what we're doing and the minutia of life and everything. And sometimes you got to back up and you got to ask yourself, why do I do what I do? Every single one of us are who's that do what's for whys. Can we have a witness on that? Me and Chip talking when I was a little boy and he was a little boy. I would do dumb things. Anybody been there? I would do dumb things for no reason whatsoever. Ask an 8-year-old boy why he picked up a rock in the driveway and drug it down the side of his dad's new car. You say, what were you thinking when you did that? And you weren't. You weren't thinking about anything. As we grow older, the fact of the matter is why we do what we do. You know, people pay billions of dollars to psychologists and psychiatrists to answer the question of why we are the way that we are. We are who's that do what's for whys. And I've said this many times, but I want to reiterate it. You know, there's questions in our life. Who am I? Where do I come from? Where am I going? What is my purpose? The number one need, acceptance. The number one fear, rejection. This is like driving all of humanity right now. And you know, I can tell what you are. And some people might be able to explain how you are. But there's only one person that can explain why you are. He created you. I want to say this morning. There are no mistakes in God. There might be some unsupported children, but there are no such thing as an illegitimate child or an illegitimate human being. We were created in Christ before the foundation of the earth. Every one of us, as we sung this morning, is of infinite value to the Lord. The why is something that we call purpose. And so I want to talk about the why we are and how to fulfill the purposes. Every single one of us are here for a reason, right? The Bible says if we don't understand the purpose and why we're here, we're just sucking air and taking up space. Jesus said it's like men, like open graves full of dead men's bones. You don't know why you're here. To discover the purposes of God and to understand the reason why he placed you here is to open yourself up to letting the Holy Ghost, the power of God, flow in your life. Does anybody want the power of God to flow in their life? You know, God, it says that God has good plans for you. Good plans for your life. And it also says in Romans 8, all things work together for the good. Now, he didn't say all things are good. Can I have a witness? How many know bad things happen to good people? We live in a fallen world. People die prematurely, and we can't blame God for the fallen nature of man. But thank God that he gives a solution, and he helps us through the process of our problems. It doesn't say that all things are good, but it says in Romans 8 that all things work together for the good of those who love God and those that are called according to purpose. When the purpose of God in our life is recognized, the power of God begins to flow. And I'm going to tell you what, on my best day, guys, I'm weak. And you are too, except for Christ. I want us, if we could, to turn in our Bibles this morning. Let's go to Isaiah, the 38th chapter. Isaiah 38. Ephesians 1 says that we are predestined for a purpose. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. Proverbs 20 says God has given a plan and purpose through wise counsel. And so if I could just let us walk out of here this morning with one thing. I want us to look at ourselves in the mirror and have some steps, some revelation, some understanding of who God created me to be. And what God created me for. How many know that is the big question? And we've got limited time, so I'm going to try and reduce it down because we could talk hours about this. But every single one of us have this cry in our heart this morning. When I first got born again, and I would think about it, I think, Lord, why am I here? I was a new creature. In fact, I tell people this, you don't even know yourself until you get born again. You might think you know yourself by the sum total of your experiences and relationships, but there is a you that God wants to introduce yourself to. The Bible says that you were created in Christ from the foundation of the earth, and that your life is hid with God in Christ. And so the more you get to know Jesus, the more you get to know who you are and who he created you to be. So let's stand for the reading of the word this morning. Isaiah 38. How many, I believe we're going to have a soul harvest. Yeah. On Easter, maybe today as well. Precious people, we are going to hit the blitz. We're going to ask, we're going to seek, and we're going to knock in faith. And God said this, whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, it's open. So I'm believing, let's just pray together for hearts to be open as well as we blitz our community. That just bubbled up inside of me. I feel a burden for our communities right now. Isaiah 38, if everybody's here, give me an amen. Amen. All right. And it begins, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked with you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, and surely I will add to your days 15 years. Lord, I thank you so much for your word this morning. Lord, I just pray this morning that you would teach us to count our days, that we would understand the purpose of why we're still here, Lord God. And you would give us those steps of revelation to take to fulfill the purpose for our lives. And Father, we give you all the praise for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Now, as we begin to look at the text this morning, King Hezekiah. Now, how many of you have a favorite king in the Bible? I do. Most of us resort to maybe David, which was the worshiping warrior, wrote so many of the Psalms in the Bible. And then there's King Solomon, which was the wisest in all of the land. But the Bible, did you know the Bible actually tells who the greatest king was? It actually says, before this king and after this king, there was no greater king than Hezekiah. It says it right here in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. It said when he came into office at age 25, served for 28 years, it said that he, now it didn't say that he was sinless because nobody's sinless, but it said that he was blameless and he was loyal and he was committed and he was connected to the things of God all of his life. I would like to have that testimony from this day. You can't do anything about your past, but I'd like to have that testimony from this day on and forevermore. And so it said that Hezekiah was the greatest king in that. He tore down the altars. He put God in the center of his life. It said that he worshiped the Lord all the days of his life. Now, what's happening is Hezekiah, how many of you know we all have a shelf life? Well, some of us say, I'm believing for the rapture. Yeah, well that's maybe a quicker, more painless transformation than 6 feet under, but every single one of us have a shelf life. And the reality is though this guy was wonderful in the sight of the people and the sight of the Lord, there was a day appointed for him to meet the Lord. The prophet comes to him and says, hey, Hezekiah, get your house in order. It doesn't look like you're going to make it through this illness. And so Hezekiah, he turns towards the wall. He weeps bitterly. And I mean, that was the word of the Lord, he's going to die. But God's a relational God, and Hezekiah, he asked the Lord, Lord, would you just let me live? And God actually answered that and gave, how many like to have another 15 years? Now, my grandma, when she was 94, she did not want another 15 years. She would ask actually for me to quit praying for her to live longer. She was ready to be translated into heaven with my grandpa. But the fact of the matter is that Hezekiah, he began to pray and the Lord heard him and answered his prayer. See, Hezekiah besought the Lord on his faithfulness. God's faithfulness, of course, but upon his faith. He said, Lord, I've served you. I'm here in the land of the living. And he said, I can't praise you up there like I can down here. I still have something to do. And it said that the Lord looked at Hezekiah. I believe he looked at his history and changed his destiny. I believe that his devotion led to the duration of his life. Now, we all know that good people pass away and go on to be with the Lord. So I'm not saying if you do everything that the Lord's called you to do, or you go, how many, that can help you live longer. But I said before, we live in a fallen world. But the reality is, as Hezekiah said, Lord, I want to continue on the purpose that you've given for my life. And it said because of that, he had extended his days and changed his duration. If I was to look at my life and I was to roll over and say, Lord, look at my life. Look at how I've lived for you. Look at how I've walked with you. Lord, would you give me a couple more years? I'm not sure if any of us or many of us could say, Lord, would you look at my past and help that to dictate my future? I'm going to say this. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for mercy and thank you for grace. But in reality, Hezekiah knew his purpose and he wasn't finished with what God had called him to do. There's like three things in each and every one of us. One, I'm going to say this, is identity. Identity, I think, is the most or one of the most important things, that we would have identity. Another, because I'm a who. And there's also a when. How many know in purpose there is identity? In purpose there is also timing. But in purpose is also a why. Why do you go to church, Dan? It's not good enough to say because mom went to church. Because you're doing the what. Now, I'm thankful that people go to church because mom and dad brought them up in church. It's a good, but the fact of the matter is, if you lose the why, you negate the passion and the purpose in which God placed you in the earth. Why are you raising kids? Why do you work? If you miss the why, if you miss the purpose behind it, life's empty and it's boring. I mean, God wants life to be exciting. The word enthusiastic actually means to be like God. That we wake up every morning and we realize it's an adventure, it's a quest, because I'm a who. I know who God's called me to be. I know what God's called me to do. And so along with this, there's like five things in understanding your purpose this morning that I want to get deep inside of us. Number one, why? For each and every one of us. Is the first and greatest commandment. Why are you? God created you for himself. You are who you are because God saw you in the infinite times past, and he said, I want to uniquely make you. You are my type, genus, and species. I'm going to place you in this season at this time to be that type of a person, to awaken to who you are. The Bible says that the greatest sin is idolatry. Why is the greatest sin idolatry? Because the greatest commandment is to make God the center of your life, to make God first in your life. And so the purpose of me at the end of the day, the first and foremost, God created me and I awakened to purpose when I begin to put God as first in my life. That I make God the center of what I do. Matthew 22 says that this is the greatest of all commandments. Anytime that I make anything else the center of my life, what happens is I'm void of the purpose for living. I love sports, but sports is not the purpose of my life. I love work, but work is not the purpose of my life. I love my wife, but listen, my wife and my family is not the purpose of my life. God, the originator of life itself, is the purpose of my life. So for me to discover my purpose and walk in my purpose and to know really who I'm supposed to be, I have to make God the center. The greatest commandment is this, This is to love the Lord God with all of your whole heart and your soul and your might and your strength and all that is within you. That's number one. I mean, you were created for God. He chose you for himself. Isn't that a wild statement? God said, I want a Dan. Dan and Joan and Jocelyn are an express image of who I am. Then outside of them, other people will not see that dimension of me. You're made in God's image. Each and every one of us come from God. I was created for God. And when we put all of us together, we see the purposes of God in a greater way, because each one of us is a unique dimension of this magnificent God. You were created for God. You were created by God. And so to discover your purpose is to really prioritize and say, I want to make God. I want to make God the center of my life. I want to make him my number one. The other part of discovering purpose, if you're taking notes this morning, is you were created for God. You're also created for relationship. Can I have a witness on that? Back to being created for God. I remember when I first got born again, I said this. I said, how much of God can you have? Now, I know the biblical, well, you've got God. If you've got God, you've got all of God. Yeah, but there's dimensions of understanding what you got, right? I give my kid the inheritance right now. She doesn't understand what she has. I give Nevaeh something right now as a gift. She doesn't understand the magnitude of it. And so, in this, the reality is God gives us himself. I first get born again, and I say, Lord, if I give you all of me, can I have all of you? How many of you want more God? In purposes, yield more of yourself to him. Make God the center. And he also created you with purpose. Number two is for relationship. Each and every one of us were created for relationship. You know, when the Lord visited Saul, which became the Apostle Paul, one of the first things he gave him was he gave him a person. Not just a prophecy. Not just a promise. How many know God puts you with people? I won't say, God divinely puts you with people that you don't even like. And it's not to change them. It's to work things out of your character, out of your nature. We were called to be together. How many, church was God's idea, not man's idea. Some people say, church is man's idea, it's organized religion. Well, you can have disorganized religion too, but God's idea was church. His idea was church. Hebrews 10 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, even more so as you see the day approaching. I need the community of God in my life. Can I have a witness on that? Yeah. Ah. Just think about that one person that just is like, grates you backwards. And you just got to tell yourself, I might not even like you sometimes, but God says I need you. Iron sharpens iron. That's friction. To create sharpness in your life. And so God created us for relationship. The first thing that God said to Adam was, it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. So God creates us. He brings us by the Holy Spirit to himself. And then he places us in the body where he sees fit. We need it. But people who say, I don't need church, they're drifting from the original intent of the purpose that God has for their life. Everybody, I think, should be a part, whether this is your home church or not. Everybody needs a community of Christ for one another because we were created for relationship. This is the learning lab of understanding God's love. This is a lab to experience and understand the love of God, because we're going to be stuck with each other for eternity if you're born again. Let's get this stuff worked out on the tarmac, because it's a lot harder to build a plane in the air. Can I have a witness on that? God has us down here. He places us together. It is not good for men to be alone. We need each other. God says that the purposes are discovered not only when we get to know God, but when we get closer to each other. A study in California people who isolate themselves, just in general, people who don't like to be around nobody, not going to be around anybody, or for some other reason, they're left to themselves, they are three times more likely to die early. Four times more likely to suffer emotional burnout. Five times more likely to be clinically depressed. And 10 times more likely to be hospitalized, it says, for mental disorders. I need these healthy relationships. My peers are my peaks. The Bible says that two's better than one, for if one falls, the other can lift the other one up. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. We need each other. When Chip's down, I'm up. And sometimes when I'm down, Chip's up. And we need each other in these different types of life. The younger women need the older women, it says in Timothy, to instruct them and to teach them and to pour into them. We need each other. We were designed strategically for relationship. I've said this before, my pastor always has said it. Before he passed away, he said, a man without a country is better off than a man without a church. What is the church? We're talking about purpose. I was created for community. I was created for a tribe. I was handpicked for a group of people to do life with. Can I say that? So what are the steps biblically in becoming part of a community of Christ? Acts, the second chapter, it talks about exactly how you do this. Well, why are you saying this, Dan? Because I want you to discover your purpose. When I started going to church, people would prophesy over me and give words over me and help me to discover who God created me to be. And when I'd mess up, some of the older folks would look at me and say, Danny, you're better than that. Well, I didn't feel better than that, but they would prophesy over my potential. You're a better boy than that. You're a better man than that. Acts, the second chapter, talks about how to enter into a community. It says, first, Acts, the second chapter, they believed. And then secondly, it says that they were baptized. Thirdly, it says that they joined a church, a spiritual family. Then they committed house to house, doing life with each other outside of the building and connected to families. And so I've got a seal in my heart because I was created for this. This is part of my purpose. I've got a seal in my heart that this has got to be consistent. It's got to be a priority in my life, just like food, just like income, just like water. You all are food to my soul. You all are water for a thirsty guy. You guys, I see part of the meaning of the life that God has for me through you. First, we're created. The purpose is for God. Secondly, we were created for community. And third, we were created for discipleship. Jesus said, go and make disciples. What does that mean? You can be a believer and not a disciple. Because you can grow old and not grow up. Anybody got some 35-year-old sons that have grown old but not grown up? Or daughters or whatever? Listen, God just does not want you to grow old. He wants you to grow up, and that's discipleship. He wants us to mature. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, says he gives gifts to the church to help us mature, to help us to form the nature and character of Christ. I just don't want to be saved only. I want to be changed. Dear God, I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I'm not as good as he is. So I commit and I connect to a life of spiritual development for me, because the more I become like him, the more I develop to be more like him, the more I find the purpose of who he created me to be. So Dan, why do you go to conferences? Why do you show up and have prayer meetings? Why do you read books? Listen, they don't have tapes anymore. Listen to flash drives. Get on you. Why do you do this? Because I just don't want to go up. I want to grow up. I find my purpose in my development as well. And so I've committed my life, and I believe many of us have in here, to continue to change. You know what the last words of a dying church is? We've never done it like that before. Some people just don't want to change. The Bible says that everybody's going to be changed that go to heaven. We shall not all sleep, it says, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, but we all shall be changed. I want to be like, I don't want to play catch up. Well, when I was in school, they graded me on a curve. I don't want God to grade me on a curve. I want to become like him in this world, in this place of existence. You are called purpose for God as your center. You are called, number two, for community. Number three, you are called to mature and grow up and develop. I want to say this. With number four, you are also called for ministry. Everybody's called to serve. Everybody's called to serve. In fact, I find this, that it's only head knowledge until you get in the game. You can all read all the books, listen to all the tapes, but if you don't, in fact, Jesus said the greatest of all in finding your purpose is the servant of all. And now, God doesn't want you to do everything. Everybody can't do everything. But if some people would do something, then everybody could be enhanced by the servitude of your heart. The word ministry, my ministry, it's service. Don't glorify ministry. Serve, glorify God with your service. I'm a ministry. I got a minister. No, don't glorify your ministry. Glorify God with your service, because service is ministry. Did you know there was a statistic in New York that a little less than half of people, that it was men in a certain area, they died within 2 years of their retirement. 2 years. By the time they actually have a little bit of money to actually do something, they die within 2 years of that. What is that? Because some people, their whole life, their whole purpose was to get up every day and go to work and hang out with those guys at work or those ladies at work. And when they divorced from that, they found out that they lost their reason for living. Part of the purpose of us is that God has called everybody. Listen, not everybody can preach. Not everybody can teach. Not everybody can prophesy. Not everybody can give $1 million. But everybody can serve. In the spirit right now, unless you are in a coma or something like that, everybody can do something. Whether you can walk or not walk. Whether you can talk or not talk. You can pray. You can encourage. You can edify. You can do something. And the word says, in discovering the purpose, I was created to serve. And I'll say this, I was created to serve something bigger than myself. That's why I said, seek ye first the kingdom. Is the kingdom bigger than you? Yeah, the kingdom is a lot bigger than you. Is the kingdom in you? Yeah, the kingdom is in you. So you serve the bigger purpose that God has placed in you through the kingdom. Sir, I remember... Everybody was kind of having a gripe session years ago, telling, there's like 30 of us and my old pastor, and they were telling the pastor what he needed to do. It was one of those board meeting kind of things, and he's taking notes. And I said, yeah, and I fed into it. I mean, bad company corrupts good communication. And so I'm like, I started seeing, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that needs done around here, Pastor. And I said, and there are all these old Bibles that were that not needed thrown away, but they needed to put somewhere else. They were just all over. I said, yeah, what are we going to do with these Bibles too, Pastor? He says, what are you going to do with the Bibles, Dan? I'm like, oh, I got a responsibility. I couldn't preach, but I could clean up the Bibles. I could be a quicker picker-upper. I could stand in the church park. Man, look at all these cigarette butts in the church parking lot. Well, what are you going to do about it, Dan? Can I just share something? I mean this from the depth of my soul. When I picked up cigarette butts in the church parking lot, I would feel the same anointing as preaching a revival sometimes. Because I was doing it unto him. Yep. I was doing it unto him. And I'm like... I don't care what I'm doing. If part of my purpose is to do something for you, you feel grace that falls on you for the purposes of God. I've got to quit this morning. But listen to me. You were created for Him. You were created for community. You were created for others. Each and every one, we're created to grow up and mature and be disciples. Not all believers are disciples. We were created to serve something beyond ourselves for the Lord, to discover who He created us to be. And the last thing, He has created every single one of us to witness. First time I ever preached a prison service, I saw 7 people get born again with my testimony. I multiplied heaven 7 times. 700% of what God placed in me, He manifested because of a testimony that I had about my life. Wouldn't it be horrible? It would be criminal for somebody to have the cure of cancer and not share the cure of cancer. The sin of the desert is to know where the water is and not tell anybody where it's at. That's the great sin of the desert. And the great tragedy of humanity is to have a God that has given you salvation and healing and family and opportunity and not share it with someone else. When I saw those 7 people got born again, I walked out of there and I said, purpose. I was made for this. I was made for this. It's one thing. Can I share something? It's one thing to get born again, and it's happening so close, it's all up in your face, and things are changing because it's happening internally. But when you can stand back and you can lead somebody to the Lord and you can see that change in their life, it's like, oh my gosh, my purpose, I want to live the rest of my life. I want to live the rest. I am not gone because everybody died. Listen. I can worship. Number one, I can worship in heaven. I can make God the center of my life and I can worship Him in heaven. I can fellowship in heaven. I can learn in heaven. I can be discipled in heaven. I can serve in heaven, but I cannot witness in heaven. That is negated to this time and space. I can't lead somebody to the Lord. And I, with my purpose, I can do 4 out of the 5. But the 5th is a big reason. In fact, the Bible says the Lord has delayed His coming, hoping that a few more might enter in. And so part of my purpose is to break the bread of life and share it with others. To give people the living water that's been given to me. To share the opportunity of a purpose and a changed life. I had a friend, Roger Miller. And he owns a logging company. He's a tough old cuss, and just love him. he's rough as a cob. And when I planted the church, you know, Roger, I won't even talk about him. I digress. Okay, so Roger decided he was going to come to church because he just couldn't believe I was actually in church, much less teaching and preaching at a church. And so I lived out in Coal City, and he came to church with me. He met me that morning, and he drove, and we're driving back to my cabin, and Roger just kept looking at me. And I said, what? Because he had nothing. How'd you like the service? Okay. Yeah. But he kept looking at me weird. And I said, what is it? He said, you were made for this. He said, this is who you have always supposed to have been. I look at him and say, well, who are you then? What has God created you to be? What has God uniquely made you for? That's each and every one of us. I want us to stand on our feet this morning. You all are so special. You are all unique. Scripture says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's masterpiece. He's trying to reveal to us this morning of who we really are and why he really created us, the big why that all of the world is asking right now. And I would like to ask you this morning, do you know the Lord? If not, you will live an alter ego your whole life. You walk up to somebody on the street and you look them in the face and you say, who are you? Well, they might give their name. They might give, really, who are you? Well, I'm a father. Well, what if you're not a father anymore? Who are you? Well, I'm a banker. Well, you just lost your job. Who are you? What's your infinite value? Who are you really? Some people, you ask them who they are, you know what they're going to say? Who do they want me to be? They're going to modify to what your expectation so that they can connect on some level. But the reality is God knows who you are. And he might not ever always like what you do, but he loves who you are because he made you. If you're in this house this morning and you say, Danny, I want to discover my purpose. I want to step into that John 10:10 life and life abundantly. I want you to slip up your hand and say, I want to give my heart to the Lord this morning. Maybe your priorities have been off. Maybe, how many know these aren't necessarily bad things? It's good to focus on your family. It's good to focus on your career. It's good to enjoy sports and those types of things. Yeah, that's all good. But it's not the primary. If you say, I want to put the Lord first in my life, and you can even say this, I don't even know what that looks like. Maybe some of us are born again, but we're not called to a family. We haven't been summoned in to the community of Christ. Maybe some of us have lacked development. Maybe some of us haven't used the gifts and the callings that God's placed in our life. Maybe some of us have said, I've been saved for 30 years and I've never led somebody to the Lord. There's a new fire and power when you step into that purpose. If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ into your heart this morning, I'd like you to slip up your hand. Jesus said, if you'll be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father and his holy angels. But if you confess me before men, I'll confess you. So you say, Danny, I want to accept the Lord. Just slip your hand up so the angels and the devil and everybody around you sees it. Well, we're all born again. Well, I just pray this morning that each and every one of us would awaken to the purposes of God and live a life, Lord God, that's befitting the great King that loved us, died for us, rose again on the third day, and now not only lived for us, but now lives in us. And I pray, Lord God, that we would carry the keys as we walk out of here this morning, keys to unlock, maybe even prophetically, the purpose and the potential of the people in our community. They don't know who they are because they don't know who you are yet. So, Lord, we thank you for open doors to share the greatest story, the greatest revelation ever told. In the mighty name of Jesus.